Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and a happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. From now, for the next 5 or 10 minutes, I'll be talking about my upcoming Peru trips. And then I'll be bringing on a fascinating fellow named David Lowe. He's a former adjunct professor of religion, a drug counselor, and an entertainer who maintains a counseling practice in which he does dream work, teaches meditation, and he's just a fascinating guy, and I'm so happy he'll be coming on today. He's on the line now, but I'd just like to make a few announcements. This Sunday, on September 22nd, I'll be speaking at the Unity Church in beautiful Bellingham, Washington. The address is 1095 Telegraph Road. And I'll be giving a messages from the masters, messages from Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, and Nostradamus, among other great spirits, on our beautiful, bright future. I also have some updates, and then after that, I'll have copies of my new book available, and we'll be doing readings until through the afternoon. So if you'd like to come, please come. If you need directions or to help find the place, their phone number is 360-733-2270. The event's free, and I hope you can all come. Twice next year, from January 23rd through February 7th, 2020, and again from May 17th to June 5th, 2020, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll be visiting Cusco, a place called Alatatambo, which is a beautiful Inca village not far from Cusco, then making up our way up to Machu Picchu and visiting a place called Agua Caliente, which means literally hot water. It has beautiful hot springs there. Then we'll be visiting other places in the Sacred Valley, then cutting across to the southern part of Peru, a place called Puno and Lake Titicaca. There's also there is an entrance to the Hollow Earth at Lake Titicaca we'll be visiting. And I was told by my friend Zura just last night that I will be going into the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu on our trip in January, so I hope you can come. We will also be visiting the Nazca Lines and a museum at a place called Paracas on the coast of Peru, which has a museum of hybrid human and extraterrestrial skulls. The Nazca Lines are extraterrestrial lines of where spacecraft, in my opinion, flew there and landed there many thousands of years ago. And when they landed, they interbred with local humans there, creating these hybrid extraterrestrial human skulls, which are now in a museum in Paracas. You can see them as well at other archaeological sites in the Peru area. It's a beautiful place. If there's time, we'll be going also to a place called Rainbow Mountain, which is one of the world's most beautiful mountains. And the reason why it's so beautiful, it has a kaleidoscope of different colors, a whole bunch of reds, oranges, yellows, and other colors. Side trips will also be available to the Amazonian jungle, as well as other archaeological sites near Nazca. The trip, I guarantee, will be really out of this world. The cost is only $497, with airfare and accommodations extra. I will also be giving psychic readings and be giving free classes on contacting the ancient Inca and angels and spirits on the other side. As part of my spiritual past, I wasn't a member of the Inca civilization several thousand years ago, and I have actually still have an Inca brother who does provide, as a wonderful friend, he provides spiritual guidance to me. And I hope you can come with us to Machu Picchu and Peru next year. For more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the U.S. at 509-750-9793. And Eric, if we could play the first minute or two of El Condor Pasa to wrap up this segment, and then we'll go on to talk to David Lowe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric, for playing that so much. I also wanted to say that accommodations in Peru are very reasonable. When I was there last time, the accommodations cost between $7 and $20 or $25 a night, and many of the places included meals. So if you'd like to come, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. There was also a special on airfares from Vancouver, Canada, down to Lima, Peru, a couple of months ago, where the cost for the round trip was only $216 round trip. So I hope you, if you're interested, please come. I think it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I want everyone today to please send lots of prayers to Michi in Tokyo. She's had a hard time with death in the family, as well as Jerry at the University of Washington. His wife passed away recently, and I know it's a hard time for him as well. So if you could please send lots of love and light to them, that would be really appreciated. Next, I'd like to bring on David Lowe. He's a former adjunct professor of religion, a drug counselor, an entertainer who maintains a counseling practice in which he does dream work, teaches meditation, and speaks on topics on popular spirituality and religion. After some powerful meditation experiences, Dr. Lowe traveled extensively to visit various Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Sufi, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim locales. Soon after getting his initiation from his major teachers, he began having psychic dreams, often involving angels and other spiritual guides, which directed the major decisions in his life. After an epiphany in 2014 led him to write his first book, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, an informal textbook for discerning seekers. His greatest passions are dream work and otherwise getting people in tune with their more profound dimensions of spirituality. His website is David Lowe, DavidLowMSPhD.com. His interview should be really out of this world. David, how are you doing today?
Great. I'm so glad to be on, Ted.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could come on. I to be honest, I didn't have your phone number or a Skype address, and so I'm glad you got a hold of us a couple minutes ago. So
I did send you both, but that's okay. Here we are.
Okay, here we are, my friend. Yeah. Well, I have a whole bunch of questions I'd like to ask you, but before we start, let me ask you this. Everybody has dreams, and you say that dreams are very important to us. Why is that?
Well, everyone dreams every night. They are integral to the sleep process.
Uh-huh.
They have brain maintenance functions which are not well understood. They're involved in cognitive processing, information processing, but of course their spiritual functions are the ones which interest most people. So, I mean, we all have psychic faculties. I mean, some people have special gifts like clairvoyance and what have you, but we all dream. I mean, we all have these psychic faculties which are always scanning in higher dimensions, looking mm-hmm. for interference patterns, mm-hmm. right? They report to us in dreams. And, you know, if we ignore our dreams, then our lives will turn out more or less okay, as most lives do in the normal course of events. But we won't be as happy as we can get as quickly as we get happy if we do look at our dreams. We will get guidance from them if we have the longing and desire for it and the time and the discipline to devote to studying them. There is this dialogue with God's self that you can start and get going. Yeah, dreams are important.
Wow, interesting. I've been told before that sometimes it's good to keep a journal at your bedside so that when you wake up the next morning, you can write down your dreams. And is that a good advice about remembering dreams, David? Or is there a technique, some sort of technique you use to remember your dreams?
Well, that's pretty basic. Yeah, I mean, you display interest in dreams. You put God on notice. That by buying a journal, buying a spiral notebook, putting it next to your bedside and so forth. And, you know, it can take 20, 30, 40 minutes to write down a complex dream. Who has that kind of time?
Right.
So just put major bullet points, you know, of mm-hmm. major scenes and whatever in the dream. And, or what I do, you know, to better remember dreams. If you have a dream at 3 o'clock in the morning, you want to go back to sleep. Just rehearse the whole thing about 5 or 6 times in your mind, all the scenes, everything that was said, the whole dream. Repicture mm-hmm. it 5 or 6 times, and then you can go back to sleep, and it will be with you the next morning. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I ran into a fellow named Warren from Vancouver, Canada here. Oh, it was a couple of weeks ago. He went with me down to Mount Shasta. Wonderful fellow. And he was an herbalist. And what he would do is any kind of bad drug or anything, but he used an herb to help for lucid dreams. Have you heard of any herbs that people could take that are safe for remembering your dreams?
Well, the best known supplement is galantamine. That probably has more studies behind it to help lucid dreaming than mm-hmm. anything else. St. John's wort's good, I hear. There are lots of supplements and herbs which have some connection in studies, at least somewhat, with right. lucid dreaming. I wouldn't know of any particular one. But yeah, that's a whole field that I know very little about, other than that lucid dreaming can be the likelihood that we'll experience it can be increased if we take these supplements.
Okay. Well, thank you. You answered my question. You answered my question. David, what are the different schools of thought about dreams? That would be interesting to hear.
There are biological theories. Mm-hmm. There are psychological theories. There are spiritual. There are traditional spiritual theories, and then there are the advanced New Age theories, which you and I would buy into.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The folks who study the purely biological and neuromolecular components of dreaming don't believe that. Those guys and the folks who studied the cognitive processing theories don't put stock in any interpretive value for dreams. So there's a biological level, there's the cognitive psychology level, information processing, stuff going from short-term to long-term memory, cognitive processing functions like getting sensory material from the retina to the back of the vision center in your brain. All that sort of thing is thought to contribute to dream formation.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that they don't have spiritual functions, of course, but there are these different levels of theories of dreams. And some folks put more stock in the spiritual interpretive end than others. Carl Jung's importance cannot be overestimated. He's the one who pretty much discovered, as far as I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
the vocabulary, if you will, for understanding dreams.
Mm-hmm.
So he's quite important, and since then, more and more people have opened to the idea that dreams can help us understand our spirituality and put us on the right, give us the correct guidance that we all need individually
sure.
for our particular path. So lots of theories, they all contribute a little bit. That's important to realize. They all, the biological theories, they all contribute some at their different levels. None of them are wrong or totally wrong. But the spiritual ones are, of course, what we have the most interest in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, too, I've been told, David, and I'm sure you know a lot about this, and when you dream, you actually go into another dimension. And you can also go into parallel universes. You can do all kinds of things in dreams that's harder to do in this third-dimensional reality when you're awake.
Yeah, what's interesting, dreams are generally thought to be in the fifth dimension and higher,
mm-hmm.
The fourth dimension being time or time-space. So, yeah, the dream planes, probably the really important, profound thing to understand regarding dimensionality, just to start off our conversation, is that this reality here is thought to be the primary dream in the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
But it has no greater reality than any of those other higher realities.
Right.
It's generally thought that we all have these psychic faculties. We are all always scanning space, time, and the fourth dimensions with our thinking, our subconscious thinking. I think that happens without us realizing it. So when we do lucid dreaming or we have really vivid, aware dreams, we are in higher dimensions. We are in an active learning process of understanding higher reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the situation.
Wow. How long have you been doing this kind of work, David?
I've been tracking my own dreams for about 35 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time. That's a long time.
Actually start doing dream work with others until about 3 years ago.
Really. Uh-huh. Wow, that's great. Wow. You say in your book, and I read elsewhere also, that dream symbolism constitutes like a universal language. Could you tell a little bit about that, please?
Sure. The best way to understand that would be from the standpoint of the idea of a basic world. By that I mean this. We all have different cultures and languages, and we all have, as we grow up, we mold reality differently by taking it in and doing with it what our cultural languages say to do.
Mm-hmm.
But before we learn culture, before we learn language, just coming into the world, we all have the same basic sensory perception of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows what clouds are, what sex is, what a parent is, what food is.
Right.
We don't need literacy. We don't need maturity. We don't need any. That the basic world is the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is the similar universal information that dreams work with in formulating symbols. That is the universal language of dreams. That's probably the best way to understand it.
If you don't mind, I want to ask a personal question, if you don't mind. I remember very vividly dreaming about a crow who came to talk to me in a dream in about the mid-90s.
And wow.
At the time, I was doing a lot of work to save salmon runs out here on the west coast of the United States. And I was kind of wondering, I was volunteering to do it. And this crow came to me in a dream because I had a question whether I should continue. And he said he was sent by Gaia, the Mother Earth, to tell me to continue my work. And we ended up actually getting several Endangered Species Act petitions filed to save salmon runs here on the West Coast, and they were approved, and it did help save some endangered salmon runs. So I remember that dream. But a crow, do you know the spiritual significance or what the meaning of a crow coming to you in a dream might be?
Well, I mean, a crow, it's a bird, which is, of course, flight, God, messengers, and space, and so forth, but it's a black bird.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is great mystery, magic. And, of course, crows have extraordinary memories. It's unbelievable what's been discovered about the memory of crows. They can remember human faces over 5 years.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have funerals for their compatriots. It's amazing what's been discovered about crows.
Uh-huh.
And they have a long history in literature as portraying this source of primordial, sometimes frightening wisdom.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Like the raven in Edgar Allan Poe's poem. It's not a crow, but it's a black bird.
Right, right.
So
right.
There is this great archetypal resonance with this deep, ancient, sometimes disturbing wisdom in the form of this powerful, subtle, but direct creature of the night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I thought of Edgar Allan Poe just as you were talking about it. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, also, too, from your experience, you've got so much experience, David, and I'm so happy you could come on my show today. How do dreams pick up information across time and space? That's a fascinating topic.
Well, it's like I was saying, we all have, I think we all have basic psychic faculties as human beings. And those faculties are always scanning, like advanced radar, out into time and space, across time and space, out into the future.
Right.
Looking for interference patterns for our future, right? And we all have karmas. We all have stuff we got to go through. So no matter how good we are about our spirituality and our dreams, things are going to happen that we don't like in life. That's just part of life. But probably 3 out of 4 things that occur to us, we can make them easier and more felicitous and happier by paying attention to our dreams. If we do that, we will get guidance and we will live our lives in a happier, easygoing way than we otherwise would. So, but we need to pay attention to that guidance. So our psychic faculties are scanning out into the future, looking for interference patterns, mm-hmm. and reporting back to us in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's part of who we are, is the fact that we have to scan ahead like radar in time and space and to look for easier ways of going through what we have to go through. But we have to pay attention. You know, that's the dilemma.
Sure.
We can, God's self doesn't spoon feed us stuff. this information is on offer all the time, but we have to make the effort.
Right.
We have to do the work, write the stuff down, think about it, talk to others about it,
mm-hmm.
Confer with our elders and so forth to fathom this information.
Hmm.
So we have to do our part, and but we do automatically, as part of who we are, scan ahead in time and space. I think so. I really do. Deep down.
Interesting. What a fascinating topic. Now, people sometimes tell me, David, that they don't dream at all. Is that people dream, right? Is that true? They just don't remember it. Is that a better way of saying it?
Right. Everyone dreams every night. That's been known for decades.
Okay.
And nobody knows why. This is an excellent topic. Written research, actually. Nobody knows why we don't all remember more dreams than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes a person's beliefs get in the way. A person might give lip service to the notion of dreams, but deeper down he or she really doesn't believe in it.
Right.
There are health issues, dietary issues, which can interfere, sleep issues, problem issues, which can interfere. You know, so sleep medicine as a whole, there are like 74 different sleep disorders.
Mm-hmm.
74. There's not just,
really?
There's all kinds of things that can happen to people's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Health issues during the day, poor pain management, all that sort of thing can interfere with dream, with sleep, and with therefore with interfere with dream recall as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, you can, if you take an explicit interest in your dream and go out and get that notebook, stick it next to your bedstead,
mm-hmm.
do your prayer and meditation before going to bed, do your affirmations, really have longing to know what's best for you in terms of the future, what God's self wants you to do. You know, how can you live your life in a better, more harmonious way, more definite and focused way to do what you are meant to do on the earth? And
mm-hmm.
your dreams can help you find that. And mm-hmm. they will speak up if you take more interest in them.
Interesting. I just want to ask you, Dave, what's the most amazing dream you ever had? One that really stands out? It could be a couple. And what meaning did they have?
I'll tell you. In some ways, they are the dullest, most ordinary dreams in the world. But dreams which offered me guidance,
mm-hmm.
ones which mean the most. Like 30 years ago, I thought of getting involved with a certain woman. I was going to call her up, but I had a dream that night. The dream consisted of two things:
mm-hmm.
That woman nagging and a baby. So I knew right then, don't call her, don't get involved, you're not ready to be a father, she's not the right one.
Okay.
And if I hadn't have heeded that dream, my life would be totally different. You know? Another one, I'll give you another simple example.
Okay.
I was puzzling over where to go to graduate school about, 20, 30 years ago, whatever
okay.
it was now.
Sure.
I got into Temple, I got into George Washington State University in D.C. Where should I go? I could not decide.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a dream, and the dream consisted of only one thing, a scene of the Temple University skyline, the campus skyline in downtown Philadelphia. That was the whole dream, but it resolved an issue for me.
Wow. Interesting.
So these are the kinds of dreams for which I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's because the spiritual work I've done, the yoga, meditation, so forth. I follow a guru. I followed other gurus. There are good and bad apples in the spiritual master category of life. But they do have, I think, there are great living ones, and associating with them can help you in your spirituality. So all these things have jumpstarted my dream life, have helped me dream more effectively, get more definite messages, and fathom them by working with other people and understanding what I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
There have been innumerable instances of guidance like that.
Sure. Well, I have to ask you a follow-up on that. Is that, should you pay attention to all your dreams or just some of them? And how do you tell which ones are important?
The more unpleasant a dream is, mm-hmm. the more important it is.
Really?
Yeah, those of us in the field, most of us think, not all of us, but most mm-hmm. of us think, most of us who are on the New Age spiritual end of this, which is most of us in the dream work community, Dreams are only unpleasant to get our attention. That's the only reason. Okay, so there's no such thing as a bad dream, really. So
right.
Nightmares, very unpleasant dreams, and recurring dreams are the most important type to look at. Because it's, you know, the recurring dream, the hello, stupid, you've been ignoring this issue for years and years. Let's do something about it, you know. But we all have lifelong issues, which we can only do so much about at any one time. But if we're having a recurring dream a lot, we shouldn't, we're not doing as much about that issue as we should be doing. We could be happier, more fulfilled regarding that issue if we want to do something about it. But we've been ignoring it for years and years and years, so the dream kept coming back and coming back and coming back until we wise up and do something about it.
Right, right.
Yeah, so nightmares, unpleasant dreams, and recurring dreams are the most important ones. Vivid ones, vivid, powerful dreams obviously are important. It's a profound issue.
Well, I guess the follow-up question is that there's a whole bunch of things. People maybe have a dream of falling or flying or being chased or being undressed in public, losing teeth,
right.
Making love, having your spouse cheat on you, taking a test, being pregnant, being late, going to the bathroom, driving out of control. Is there any common thread to these things, or are they just kind of like our common fears that have come up and they come out in the dream state?
Yeah, I call those common psychology dreams. They're very common. They reflect common tensions and issues that we all go through growing up.
Right.
I guess especially young people, folks in their 20s and 30s who haven't quite figured things out yet, who are still who have more questions to answer about what they want to do in life.
Right.
We're always going through stuff in our young years. We're always growing up. And those kinds of dreams are pretty common because they reflect common tensions, insecurity, defensiveness, being late, being scattered, not knowing what you want to do, kind of taking everything by the seat of your pants, not trying to juggle too many balls at once in your life and losing control with flunking a course. All those kinds of things happen in life. And those things are valuable. So they do have messages, and we shouldn't. But just because those things are common doesn't mean we can't grow up more quickly or we can't do something about them.
Right, right.
But yeah, they're very common dreams, and to an extent, you can look them up. Oh, well, that you can't look it up online. Oh, that's what that was.
Sure.
But working with someone like myself can help, because I would get to know you, and that is crucial in doing dream work.
What about, I've had dreams before where my dad comes to talk to me and visit with me. Is that common for people to have, dreams of relatives who've passed on, come to see them?
Yes, it is. And that brings up a very interesting philosophical point. You know, there's a difference, I think, between a true visitation dream and just a common symbolic dream. Most of the time, I think, when people see their relatives in dreams, they're just symbols. In other words, they represent some aspect of the dreamer, okay, which is what most of us in the field think, that most of the time, everything in a dream represents some aspect of the dreamer.
Okay.
But a dream in which a loved one shows up and in which there's a lot of emotional power and meaningful connection in the dream, that is a true visitation dream, okay, in which the person is not just a part of yourself, but in fact represents an independent spirit. So the person is in fact visiting you and having some powerful connection.
Interesting.
As opposed to just being a normal symbol.
Yeah, right. Interesting. You say that dialoguing with your dreams is very important. What do you mean by that, David?
Well, you can get a dialogue going with God's self, with your inner self.
Okay.
Right. And to do that, and again, dreams are the most common venue and means of contact with higher reality. We all have that faculty.
Right.
So it's just a matter of doing regular, ordinary spiritual stuff like meditation, keeping a journal, not just with dreams. Everything going on in your life should be in that journal, not just dreams. But, you know, write down your dreams, do bullet points if you can't write down the whole thing. But on a regular basis, look at your dreams, review them. You know, the Seth books tell us that part of our personality, deep down, does fathom the dream mm-hmm. when you study it. Mm-hmm. It can benefit to work with someone like me to understand it consciously sooner than you otherwise would, but we do get it on some deeper level. So it's important to study your dreams, even if you don't completely understand them.
Mm-hmm.
So writing them down, studying them, maybe once a week, looking at them, you know, but writing them down whenever they happen, then maybe once a week, Thursday morning at 7 o'clock before going to work, that regular time, looking over your dreams for the week. Doing regular practice, especially journaling and meditation, relating to dreams. Mm-hmm. Just keeping that and then asking questions in your journal, writing unsent letters back to God, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to understand yourself, what you're going through, practical questions. Yeah, it all is, dreams help you with a lot of things.
Oh,
a lot of things in life.
Interesting. When you mention the word God self, is that one's oversoul?
That would be, you know, the notion of God and the notion of the self.
Mm-hmm.
Two ways of saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a paradox. God,
mm-hmm.
the inner self, those two things being the same thing. God is huge, great, cosmic, all-embracing, monistic principle. And the inner self, which is the same thing understood within. You know, so it's the paradox. God is within us. God is everything cosmic and embraces all dimensions to the furthest 14 billion light years. It's all inside of us.
Sure, sure.
It's all inside.
When you talk about lucidity, do people have to be asleep to dream lucid? I mean, are there cases where you've run into, David, where people are actually awake when they dream? Is that possible?
You know, I think it is.
Okay.
That's a difficult subject to parse out because you're dealing with trance states.
Uh-huh.
I mean, traditionally you go to sleep and then you dream.
Right.
But it's some people who are very, very practiced can pretty much lay down and boom, off they go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No. So the distinction between astral projection and dreaming, there is a traditional distinction, but in practice it's very fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fuzzy. So you don't necessarily have to go to sleep before you can start dreaming and lucidly dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Although most of the time that's how it happens. You do go to sleep first instead of putting yourself into a trance. So, yeah, there are two different situations, but people who are very practiced at this,
mm-hmm.
and these are people who have the right kind of spiritual profile or aptitude. Some people just have a knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can learn to lucid dream more effectively than you can right now. You can get better at it,
mm-hmm.
but you may never get to the point where you can do it regularly or even do it at all well or even have it happen hardly at all.
Mm.
Some people just are not able to do lucid dreaming and because they have a different kind of internal spiritual profile.
Mm-hmm.
One person isn't better or worse off for not being able to do lucid dreaming, but some people just seem to have a knack for it, seem to have
sure.
the right
sure.
personal profile for lucid dreaming.
Well, let's say somebody who dreams, can they be taught lucid how to do lucid dreaming, David?
Can you say that again, Ted? I didn't get that.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Can people be taught how to do lucid dreaming? I mean, could you teach them how to do
it? Yes, you can be taught, certainly.
Okay.
You can increase the likelihood that it will happen by doing basically self-awareness exercises ahead of time, auto-suggestions, self-hypnosis, affirmations, to get yourself to remember when you dream that you want to dream lucidly.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do all you can to increase your level of awareness while you're going to sleep, right? And you can do that through affirmations, meditation, but you have no control over it in the end. When you go to sleep, we don't know for sure whether you're going to have a lucid dream or not. You can increase the likelihood that you will, but you can't guarantee it, you know, for the
sure.
most part.
Sure, and,
so
and
it can be taught, but again, how successful you are at it is going to depend on, well, on two things. One, how much desire and teaching you get about it. And two, your own degree of aptitude, your own degree of inherent aptitude for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not everyone, it's not something that anyone can just easily do. Some people can do it more easily than others. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So lucidity means that you're clearly consciousness. You have a clear consciousness about dreaming, right? Is that
right?
Okay, all right. Versus just dreaming is just you sort of vaguely remember a dream or something. So that would be a good definition between the
right. Right. Now, all dreams have a certain level of awareness connected with them.
Okay.
Okay. So the distinction between normal dreaming and lucid dreaming for many of us in the field doesn't really have much meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Because increasing your level of awareness, in that's the whole journey of mystical spirituality all the way to enlightenment, right? So, people who dream lucidly a lot, who clearly have an aptitude for it, most of their dreams continue to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
Even with them, most of their dreams continue to be normal. So the point is that, we want to be as aware as we can in dreams. But all dreams have a certain level of awareness connected with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the distinction between lucid and non-lucid is really kind of meaningless, although it is valid to speak about lucid dreams for the sake of clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Sure, sure. Well, my program's called Out of This World, so I'm going to ask you some Out of This World questions, if that's okay,
sure.
David. this is about the Galactic Alliance or Galactic Council. Do they come in to dreams to talk to people, or ascended masters come talk to people, and yeah, that's a real interesting topic. I'd love to have you answer.
Yeah, I think yes, they do. I think the best understanding is that they're kind of already here.
Mm-hmm.
So historically, it's appropriate for some of them, like Jesus or Buddha, to create a big deal on the world stage and have
right.
that karma.
Right.
And of course, we inflate them through myth. Into these supernatural historical figures. And a lot of people can relate to the idea of a spiritual master because of that, and only because of that. But I think in reality, what the great teachers have always told us is that as human beings, we all have this capability to achieve that same high state of consciousness. It's our birthright to have that same high state of consciousness. It's not something that only certain rare people can have under certain conditions.
Right.
So, I do think that our dreams are being engineered mm-hmm. for many of us mm-hmm. by these great beings from the higher plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine the Galactic Council is involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Interesting. Interesting. Have you had the Galactics or Ascended Masters visit you in your dreams? And what have they said to you? Do you remember?
I have three or four what I call angels. That they don't have wings. They're pretty much normal folks. So the one of them is my guru.
Mm-hmm.
Another is a normal family person who's a very, very enlightened person who shows up now and then to say things.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is the Hindu deity Ganesha.
Okay.
Ganesha might represent a real, live, giant, living creature who lived eons ago,
right.
according to some ancient historians.
Mm-hmm.
But archetypally, elephants are very powerful, memory, great wisdom, and so forth. So Ganesh is another one. And so I do have these three or four figures who show up every so often to tell me something important.
Interesting.
Now, those figures may be one of the ascended masters in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing to appreciate. It's thought that many people think that these great beings, that these some of whom are allied with the better spiritually-oriented ET races,
mm-hmm.
are helping to engineer our dream to point us in better directions in our lives. And that hopefully is going on a wide scale all over the earth.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, your interview is totally timely today because the vibrations of the planet are, of course, getting much, much higher, David. And your work is so important for people. If people want to get a hold of you, like a reading from you or reach you, how can they get a hold of you, David?
Well, David Lowe, L-O-W, no E on the name, David Lowe, L-O-W, msphd.com, that's the website.
Mm-hmm.
David@worldspirituality.com is the email.
Mm-hmm.
David@worldspirituality.com,
mm-hmm.
easy email address to remember. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay, good. That's great.
My job with clients is to help them understand, bring them to the best understanding of their own understanding
mm-hmm.
of what their dream means.
Sure.
So the last thing I want to do is tell somebody what their dream means. That you don't do that in dream work. That invades somebody else's space.
Sure. Right.
So I very systematically get information. I ask them about their demographic information, family configuration, relationships, health issues, personal issues, practical issues. Do you need to get your tire fixed? Right. What's your mind always dwelling on?
Mm-hmm.
All basically five different categories of information. Then I know the person well enough to help him or her understand their dream more effectively.
Oh, sure. David, with the rising vibrations of the planet, have you noticed that some people, for example, have a lot of negativity that's been coming out in their personalities that wasn't there before? They're trying to work through these things. Have you found that?
Oh, gracious. I mean, all of the right-wing governments, which are popping up all over the world, and the bitterness and anger, the dark energy needs to come out and be exposed and be dissipated before we can all get happier,
Well, yeah, and I think about what's happening in the Amazon in Brazil now that has a government that's seems to condone the fires, which is unfortunate.
Probably the most painful thing about this transformation that planet's going through for me,
mm-hmm.
the most painful thing isn't the people. I mm-hmm. think we have an overpopulation problem. The human beings, and I'll let my hair down a bit here and say that as far as I'm concerned, 70% of us could vanish, and maybe I should be one of them. That's no problem.
Hmm.
What I have trouble with is seeing all these other great magnificent creatures
mm-hmm.
also dwindle and go extinct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's very difficult for me to watch,
mm-hmm.
but it seems to be part of the process.
Sure. Well, yeah. It's a fascinating time. The planet itself is shifting into the higher dimensions, and you're doing really important work, I think, David, in helping people understand their dreams, which is one way the spirits, I think, come through to help people. Have you had the Galactic Council visit you in your dreams? Maybe I asked it before, but just wanted to ask it again.
I only indirectly. One lucid dreaming experience I had long ago, I went mm-hmm. up to a higher plane and met somebody who could have been, it probably was an ET.
Sure. Okay.
That was the only explicit meeting of what could have been, from the looks of the creature, an extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, my own angels have been pretty traditional earthbound angels, like Ganesha, the great elephant deity in the Hindu tradition. Elephant deities are found in other great indigenous traditions as well, all over the world.
Right.
But that elephant deity could conceivably be a disguise of an ascended master.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who comes through a form that I can relate to help me along.
Interesting. Now you've done travel experience in India in the Americas.
Yeah. If I could come to a galactic council visitation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, yeah, perhaps I have been.
Okay, interesting. When you were in India, what kind of experience did you have there? Where did you visit?
I went to live and be with the spiritual teacher that I was following and still follow,
mm-hmm.
doing probably between meditation and chanting about 5 hours of spiritual practice a day,
mm-hmm.
and also touring all over the country. I put my own pilgrimage together and went to about 98 different places, some of which were very powerful, some were not, some a lot of them were,
mm-hmm.
these great spiritual sites are around the subcontinent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I spent a total of a year in India.
Interesting.
2 months doing my own pilgrimage and 10 months mm-hmm. living in this ashram over there.
Wow.
Very powerful time.
Interesting. If somebody called you up today, after the show, David, and they wanted to know, if they wanted to try to remember dreams. We talked about this earlier, but I wanted to reiterate it because many people say the same thing to me. They say they want to remember their dreams, but they don't know how. What would be the most easiest thing to do?
Number one, take a greater interest in them. Do things with your body as well as your mind, like go out, buy a book, read it.
Mm-hmm.
Get a notebook, put it next to your bed. You actually have to move physically to do those things. You're putting God on notice. I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, really do some introspection. Try to understand what you want to learn about yourself, your course in life. Really sit down, do some prayer, pray, do affirmations, do a whole spiritual routine before going to bed to basically, you know, what we call incubate a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, I mean, not every night, but maybe once a week, your dreams will speak up. But you need to express interest and be disciplined about the practices which go into cultivating them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Was there one thing that started you off on your spiritual path, David? Do you remember one incident when you were a young man, or is there something?
It would have to be, well, my TM initiation in college, Transcendental Meditation. Mm-hmm. You'll remember that.
Sure, right.
Three, four decades ago.
Oh yeah.
In college, and then later on, my heavy duty initiation with the guru that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
That was a major event which blasted me wide open. Yeah, so those two things would be the big events in my spirituality, which really got me going.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to appreciate here is that those kinds of spiritual encounters, you know, open us up, open up deeper dimensions of our being, so that we begin to have dreams more so than we did before.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to get interior guidance more than we did before.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. And since that time, since you had that spiritual epiphany years ago, you've paid attention to your dreams, right? I mean, when you get a message in a dream, you pay attention to it. And has that helped you?
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. I've gotten guidance like the ones that I mentioned earlier are one of many that I could talk about, but
mm-hmm.
I only got that guidance because I wrote them down. I puzzled over them.
Mm-hmm.
I got out my symbol dictionaries. I talked to other people about them, talked to therapists about them sometimes, and it gradually became apparent to me what was going on and what they were trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to people, being in a dream group is the most effective way you can have of understanding your dreams, a well-facilitated group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Fascinating. Are there any, what kinds of research, are you doing research in other areas as well now?
I did a presentation at the International Association for the Study of Dreams,
mm-hmm.
the largest organization of its kind in the world. At the last conference, two conferences ago, I did a presentation on stages, on dream stages that people go through.
Uh-huh.
We grow up dreaming the average kind of dream. And then at a certain point, especially those of us on a conscious spiritual path, we will start having a type of dream, a different kind of dream altogether, you know. Like, so if our normal dreams are apples, there's shiny apples, there's rotten apples, there's big apples, there's small apples, different kinds of dreams, then suddenly you get an orange, you know, a different kind of dream altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So I found doing survey work that, you know, and then this is, of course, is a very unusual population, this organization of dreamers who are into dream work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them had gone through the same stages of dreaming that I went through.
Interesting. Wow.
And that's important to understand, you know, deeper spiritual psychology. And, I mean, to the extent that, you know, dimensional psychology in internal experiences of dreams relating to higher dimensions, relating to alternate realities, and what a person's consciousness is experiencing, that relates to the notion of stages that we go through in our spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that how that's reflected in dreams is something which I'm trying to research.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get any information about the future, and specifically about our future here of humanity on the planet?
I've gotten information about specific events in my own life,
mm-hmm.
but never about the planet at large unless, well, you know, I mean, symbolically, a lot of us who sometimes have dark dreams of black or difficult or violent things, which we see happening, like a whole field of people getting killed, or a whole mountain range getting flattened, or, you know, a whole ocean evaporating, or something, you know, something
sure.
really violent and terrible,
mm-hmm.
and on a huge scale. when we have dreams like that, we are tapping into deeper archetypal realities, which do reflect cycles of creation and destruction. So I mean, it's very likely that a lot of us are getting in our dreams, you know, symbolically represented, you know, feelings of anger, grief, and hatred, which have to come out and be dissipated, purified, and processed before we can all get happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has to happen first.
Tell me about this. Is another actually this is an email question in from a listener named Joe. What have you encountered people who visit angels visit them in their dreams, and I'd love to hear some stories about that.
Well, there are a lot of folks who follow esoteric traditions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether or not by esoteric tradition, I mean a spirituality where an unusual amount of spiritual work is done in dreams.
Right.
I mean, so instead of visiting your guru, studying your scriptures, going on pilgrimages on earth, you do that stuff in your dreams, in trance work, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I have never been visited by a bona fide angel with wings and with glorious colors and select Raphael or any of those guys. That happened. Mm-hmm. That's never. But indirectly, I think I have been by those other entities that I've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But there are spiritual